Welcome to installment 176 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments. Once again, we will discuss positive commandment 49 regarding the service of the high priest on Yom Kippur, and positive commandment number 118, the commandment that if one has done me'ilah, or illegally used sanctified objects from the temple, he is required to return their value plus an extra chaymesh, an extra fifth. In the book of Leviticus, in Parshas Acharei Mos, the Chumash describes the involved service of the Kohen Gadol, Aaron HaKohen, on Yom Kippur. Many sacrifices had to be offered, both by the high priest himself and on behalf of the entire congregation. In addition, there were many viduyim, or confessions, which were made in association with the sacrifices. The Kohen Gadol would change clothes many times, and also would have to immerse himself in a mikveh, as well as washing his hands and feet. In addition, he mentioned the ineffable name of God, the Shem of HaMafurish, 10 times in the course of the Yom Kippur service. He also entered the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was the only time in the year he could do so, and he was the only person who was allowed to do so. This entire service, as described in depth in the Talmudic tractate Yuma, is positive commandment 49, the service in the times of the temple on Yom Kippur. This, the Rambam explains from the 5th chapter of this same tractate Yuma, all consists of one mitzvah. We do not count each of the individual components as separate mitzvahs, but as one general mitzvah of service on Yom Kippur. The proof of this, the Rambam says, is the Talmudic statement that if one changes the order of one of these forms of service and does one earlier than it should be or later than it should be, the entire service is invalid. From this statement, we see that they are all part of one service, because if they were different mitzvahs, the order would not necessarily matter. From this, that we see that all components of the service are intrinsically and intimately tied with their relation to the other parts of the service, we see they are all one, is one general mitzvah with many component parts. The Rambam further tells us the purpose of all these types and aspects of the service, l'chaper bohen kol ha'veneis, to achieve atonement for all of our sins. What is the atonement that Yom Kippur accomplishes? This is explained by the Alter Rebbe in Tanya, in Igeres HaTshuva, that first there is tshuva, the person's repentance, that the person expresses his regret for this which he has done in the past, and makes a firm resolution not to repeat the misdeed. In addition, there is the kapara, the atonement, which, as the Alter Rebbe explains, is from the word kinuach, that it cleanses the effect, the filth, the dirt, the covering which was placed on the soul as a result of the misdeed. Therefore, the atonement takes away the dulling effect which the sin had on the soul and completes the cleanliness and brings the soul back to its previous state. Actually, the Gemara tells us that a person, after doing tshuva or repentance, cannot merely restore his soul to its previous pure and unhindered state, but actually can come higher than he was before. As the Talmud states, "Deines naselo kizochies," that the person's intentional sins can actually be converted to mitzvahs, that through a sincere feeling of regret, the person will be spurred on to increase in his observance of Torah and mitzvahs. And if the cause for this increased observance is his regret of the sin, we see that the sin is actually encouraging him to do a mitzvah. The additional mitzvah and the additional enthusiasm with and care and exactness with which he does the mitzvah is being caused by the sin itself. So the sin actually has a part and is causing this mitzvah, and it is considered as a mitzvah itself. We see then that tshuva is not something which is associated with depression or bad feelings, Really, the contrary is true, that tshuva, repentance, must be done in a spirit of return, of simcha, of joy, that the person is returning to their true inner self. The first Yom Kippur, which was observed, was the giving of the Luchei Shniyos, the second tablet. After the first tablets were broken upon the sin of the golden calf, Moses ascended the mountain, and the last 40-day period began on the Rosh Chodesh El, the first day of El, and concluded the 40th day thereafter on Yom Kippur, upon which Moses was given the second tablets. And as our sages say, that the second tablets actually brought with them a tremendous increase in the amount of Torah which we received. Had we had only the first set of tablets and not sinned with the golden calf, we would have had a much smaller revelation of the Torah. As a result, paradoxically enough, as it seems, as a result of our sin and our subsequent tshuva, repentance, we had a tremendous increase in the amount of Torah available to us. Therefore, we see the tremendous power of tshuva, which should cause us again to return with a great sense of joy, with great simcha. This can also be detected in a famous story regarding one of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbeim, who was asked after Yom Kippur, meaning after all the preparation of the month of Elul, and the Rosh Hashanah, and the 10 days of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and the whole service of Yom Kippur itself, he was asked after the Day of Atonement had finished, what now? What is left? What is our service of God? We've reached such a high level of tshuva. And the Rebbe answered, now is the time to begin tshuva. Now is the real time to begin. That as far as tshuva is concerned, a person can go higher and higher. As the famous saying goes, that Mashiach will come to bring even tzaddikim, even the righteous, to do tshuva. That since God is infinite, there is an infinite degree of closeness which one can gain to God. Therefore, even tzaddikim, the totally righteous, can do tshuva in the sense of coming close to God. This also, as can be easily understood, is done with tremendous simcha at the increasing closeness which one has with God. So therefore, immediately after Yom Kippur, when the preparations for Sukkot began, it was first a time for tshuva, that Sukkot is a time associated with simcha, as we say in our prayers, Zman Simchoseinu. But even then is a time for tshuva, but a tshuva out of great joy and simcha. Our next commandment involves the law of Me'ilah. Me'ilah is an unauthorized use of sanctified objects. For example, let us say that something has been donated for temple use. Or let us say, on the other hand, that something has been specified for a holy use. For example, a holy food such as truma, which has been singled out to be given to the Kohen and consumed by the Kohen in purity and holiness. A person who is using it for their own personal purposes is not allowed to come and utilize this sanctified object. Should he do so, he is guilty of being moel or me'ila, an unauthorized use of the sanctified object. Positive Commandment 118 involves when a person has committed me'ilah, has used an inappropriate use of a sanctified object unwittingly, bishkaga. The law is that he must return the amount of the object which he has utilized, and he must add on to it a chemesh, one-fifth. As the Rambam quotes from the book of Leviticus, chapter 5, verse 16, regarding the general prohibition of me'ilah, the es chamishisa yeseif olav, that one must add on a fifth. One must not only return the amount which he utilized, he must add on an additional fifth as well. So too, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 22, verse 14, the same commandment is related to a person who eats truma, or another sanctified food, indicated only for the Kohen, and does so unwittingly, he also must return the amount plus an additional fifth. This law applies, however, only if the person has done so unintentionally. A person that intentionally makes use of these sanctified objects does not have to pay back this fifth. This is a special law for someone who does so unintentionally. The details of this law are explained in tractates Me'ilah and Truma. When we say that the person who has been Moel must give a fifth in addition to the regular value of the object, we do not mean a fifth of the total worth. For example, if a person utilized $4 worth of Truma, unwittingly ate $4 worth of Truma, he would not give $4 plus one-fifth of $4. Rather, he takes one-fifth of the total including the penalty. In other words, if he ate $4 worth, he would have to add on another dollar and pay a total of $5. That way his penalty, $1, is one-fifth of the total of $5. This is known in Hebrew as lavash, not including the amount itself. In other words, the one part is counting in addition to the four, in addition to the value itself. The value together with the penalty will be one-fifth. The penalty will be one-fifth of the total. We therefore see that this one-fifth is not seen as an additional thing to the value of the object in itself. It is rather seen, so to speak, as an intrinsic part of the object. When we say one-fifth, we mean one-fifth of the total, including the penalty itself. This is explained in Hasidic philosophy as having great significance, and actually is connected with the discussion we had yesterday of Yom Kippur, involving the general significance of the number five. As we mentioned, there are five aspects of the Jewish soul. Normally we speak of three, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, since those are the ones which normally affect a Jew in an internal and inner way. In addition, there is a higher level called Chaya, which is more removed from the body, more removed from the Jew's day-to-day action. There is a higher level of soul, a fifth level, called Yechida, which is always pure by a Jew and is unchanged wherever he is, in whatever circumstance he is, and whatever education or actions he might be undergoing. His pure Yechida, the innermost core of his soul, is always pure and at oneness with God himself. This fifth aspect underlies all portions of the person's personality and soul. However, only rarely does it come into revelation, and then it penetrates all other aspects of the person's soul. We discussed yesterday that this is one of the significant factors about the five prayers unique to Yom Kippur, that in addition to the three daily prayers and the Musaf prayer on the holidays and the Sabbath, there is a fifth prayer, Ne'ilah. Because on Yom Kippur, this fifth aspect of the soul, Yechidah Sheben Nefesh, comes out into revelation. This is also the significance of the one-fifth penalty for Me'ilah, which is not seen as an additional thing to the fourth part. Rather, this fifth is part of the entire thing itself. The reason is that the fifth aspect, as it is in the soul, is an intrinsic part of the other four portions. This pure oneness and pure unity is not always visible. However, it is always there. When time does come for this fifth aspect to come out into revelation, it becomes obvious that this is part of the entire unit. This is not something additional which was not there before. This was always there. Rather, under certain circumstances, it became evident to all that it was there. So too, in our penalty of an additional fifth, we see the idea of the fifth is not really an addition. It is an intrinsic part of the value of the object. And it shows that it was an underlying factor all along. And in fact, this raises up the other four aspects to the level of the fifth, which is a higher and deeper one. Just as it is in the soul, so too, in this aspect of the payment, this also represents an elevation of the other of the intrinsic value of the object. That through the paying of the fifth, the atonement achieved is in a higher, more intense form, and actually raises up the other four portions which were paid. This ties in with our discussion of Yom Kippur and our discussion of tshuva in general, that the idea of a sin actually coming to be used out for a benefit, to have a positive effect stemming from the sin